The same people who thought inflation was transitory a couple of years ago, I think they're going to be wrong about inflation having peaked. It might have peaked in the short term, but we're going to see a continued wave higher. It's going to be tough.
This is Kaiser Johnson with Liberty in Finance, and this is the Miles Franklin Weekly Special for January 31st through February 7th, 2023, while supplies last. This week we feature 2023 Austrian Silver Philharmonics at just $3.29 over spot per ounce. Frequently regarded as one of the most beautiful sovereign coins, the Austrian Philharmonic portrays instruments from the Vienna Orchestra on one side and the grand pipe organ from the famed Augsburg Golden Hall on the other, all in 3/9 fine pure silver with a face value of 1.5 euro. These 2023 Philharmonics come 20 to a tube, 500 to a box, are just $3.29 over spot, and are IRA eligible. And if you'd like to learn more about a precious metals IRA, call us, and we'll be happy to help you in that process. Our number for all orders is 1-888-81-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-815-4237. We're available after hours and on weekends, and we look forward to speaking with you.
Hey everyone, this is Elijah K. Johnson with Liberty in Finance. And back with us today is our good friend Mario Eneko from the Mineco64 YouTube channel. Mario, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me again, Elijah.
I did want to discuss the Fed's decision we saw yesterday, them raising a quarter point. This is what was expected, but we did see a rally in precious metals. Now we've kind of sold back here, but your perspective on how the markets took the Fed's decision yesterday?
Yes, I was traveling back from Switzerland, so I was on the train back home from Heathrow Airport, but I checked the prices and I saw that gold jumped above 1950, and I thought Jay Powell must have made a dovish comment. The Fed, of course, raised rates as expected, 25 basis points. From what I've read and heard people say is that he was quite relaxed about financial conditions. He didn't seem too concerned that the stock market would react too strongly. And that's why I think like the stock market went up, like the S&P and the NASDAQ bond prices went up. Gold especially went up. Silver went up a little bit. And then it continued this morning here, London time. Gold went up to 1960. Silver went up to like 2465, outperformed a lot. But then once the U.S. came in, everything reversed, and now the dollar is relatively strong. So it's a little bit confusing, and I think it might be to do with the jobless claims numbers that came out this morning, U.S. time. It came out lower than expected, even though we're seeing a lot of other economic news be very weak in the U.S. But we also had some central bank meetings here in Europe today. The Bank of England raised rates by 0.5% as expected, and so did the ECB.
Now, if we look at also what the other central banks in the world are doing, if you can share kind of what they're doing, for example, where you are in England and also the ECB, and also there's an interesting story you talked about in Denmark. So if you could take us through those three central banks there.
Yeah, I'll go through the Bank of England first. They raised rates to 4%. And from what they told us through the press conference after the decision is that they're going to kind of pause right now. And even though our CPI is above 10%, they're going to pause and see how things go. And they also see the economy not being as bad as they thought maybe a month ago. And it just shows to me that they're going to keep inflating the system, because when you have a CPI at 10%, 4% interest rate is not going to cut it. They're predicting that the CPI is going to be below 2% by 2024, which seems wishful thinking to me. The ECB, on the other hand, they haven't raised rates as much as the Fed nor the Bank of England. They've raised it by 50 basis points to 2.5. They said they're going to do another 50 basis points in March, and then probably pause. So I think, they're preparing to probably stop raising rates. And they all seem to have this wishful thinking that CPI will magically go down just because they raised rates a little bit. As for the Central Bank of Denmark, most people might think that Denmark is part of the euro, but it's even though it's part of the European Union, Denmark has its own currency, the Danish krona. And the central bank today decided to raise rates, but they didn't raise rates as much as the ECB. They usually track the ECB, and their new president or governor, whatever he's called, he said he doesn't want the krona as strong. He wants to weaken the currency because it's too strong. And I just think that's crazy that you'd want your own currency to be devalued. But that just goes to show how central banks think. And it's just, to me, you know, why would you want the people of your country to have a currency that doesn't hold its value?
So it seems like at least in the U.S. and also around the world, I mean, we're seeing these tendencies for the central banks to kind of slow the rate of increase, it seems like. So it seems like a lot of them are thinking that inflation is under control, but we're still very high. If you look at the inflation numbers, and that's the official numbers, which are probably an underestimate. So what does this mean for, you know, the average person out there, the people viewing? What is it going to look like going forward for the next couple of years?
Yeah, I think you need to go back to the 1960s, because that's when we had the last big wave of inflation. And I think inflation comes in waves, and it's not going to go away in 2-3 years. So for the average person, things are going to get tougher. The pound or the dollar or the euro in your pocket are not going to be buying as much, and they don't buy as much now already. And in a few years' time, it's going to get even worse, unfortunately. And it's going to hurt especially the elderly, people on fixed incomes, retired people. It's going to hurt a lot of the low income people as well. And that's why we're seeing a lot of people here, a lot of strikes in the UK, because people at the bottom of the economic ladder, they're feeling it. So it's not going to get better. And I think it's just the same people who thought inflation was transitory a couple of years ago. I think they're going to be wrong about inflation having peaked. It might have peaked in the short term, but we're going to see a continued wave higher, I think. And it's not going to, it's going to be tough. I think people need to be aware of it. I can't tell people exactly what to do, but you just need to use your common sense, tighten your belts, maybe buy a little bit of gold and silver on the side to keep your savings from getting debased. For example, prior to the turnaround today, the price of gold in British pounds went up to almost £1,600, which is a record all-time high. So I think that's going to continue going forward. And I think when you see these swings intraday, it's always a good time to probably load up on a little bit. Today, for example, I went out into town and I walked past a pawn shop here in the UK, and they usually never had silver out. And I went in and bought a few silver eagles, actually, about four of them they had in the window. I took them all. And the lady there said, oh, they're selling really well. And she said, it's really unusual because it's something new. And I think people are waking up.
It definitely does seem like there's a greater demand now for precious metals in the last few years. I did want to ask you about, kind of on this theme of inflation, you recently did a video on financial repression and how it's going to dispossess the masses. What is financial repression? How does it tie into inflation? And what is its effect on people?
Well, basically, it's the central bank and the government stealing from the public, because they inflate the currency, let's say at 10%, and they only give savers 3-4% at the most in interest. So if you keep your savings in that currency, you're going to lose out. And they do that in order to make their debt, because the bankers and the governments, they have huge debts, to make it look worth less. And the people who suffer, of course, are people holding the bag, people who hold the savings, and also workers, of course, because they don't have a choice in which currency they're paid in. They can't tell the company that employs them or the government that employs them, if they're in the public sector, that they want to be paid in silver or gold or maybe a stronger currency. So that's what financial repression is. Usually in a free market, I would say, if there is some inflation, let's say 1% a year, you'll probably get 2 or 3% for your savings. So you have a real rate of return. But with the currency being debased as much as it is, and you're only getting like 1 or 2%, maybe a little more, that savings is debased. And that's what financial repression is. And it's been done, they did this in the 50s and 60s in the UK because of all the, as a result of the war, World War II, the UK had a lot of debt, and they instituted capital controls as well. I think they did a little bit in the US in the late 40s after the war. They put yield curve control. You see, what the Japanese are doing too is financial repression, because CPI in Japan is almost 4%. And you get almost nothing on your savings in yen. I mean, you look at countries like Brazil and Russia, some of the what they call the second-rate countries, they actually have quite high interest rates, way above the rate of inflation, because they're not part of the club, the Western club. So their currencies need to be defended. So, that's how it should be. And it's interesting that the Brazilian real last year outperformed the dollar.
It seems like that there is this rush to the dollar right now, which is a bit interesting how we're seeing inflation, but we're also seeing the value of the dollar with respect to other currencies increase. But I know last time we had you on, you said that is going to be reversing. When do you see this reversal, and what kind of impact will it have to people, for people holding dollars?
Well, we've already seen quite a reversal since the end of last year. The dollar index was, I think, got up to 115. I'm not sure exactly where we're now. I think we got even to below 102 recently. But for people who hold dollars, who depend on dollars, I think things are just going to get a little more expensive, because a lot of commodities and a lot of trade is still done in dollars. So if the dollar becomes worth less, it means you're going to be getting less commodities. But I think in the end of the day, it's not just the dollar that's going to lose a lot of purchasing power. It's all the currencies. Like today, we got within $100 of the all-time high in gold. We made a new all-time high in British pounds. We're very near the all-time high in Japanese yen. So I think people should focus more on their currency, be it the dollar, the pound, the euro, the yen, versus gold. Because in the end of the day, all fiat currencies are going to sink. Some are going to sink a little faster, of course, but eventually they will all sink towards worthlessness, I think.
And when it comes to financial repression, it seems like this inflation is possibly done by design, right? Because it helps the government and it helps be able to devalue the debt that the government has. And it seems like, well, I mean, that's the effect of it, at least. We can't know people's intentions, but it seems like that's always the effect of it. And that has to be the end game, because the Fed can't raise rates too much more, because the government can't afford that rate of interest on the debt.
Yeah, I think they're playing a losing game. They will keep inflating because, as you said, they can't raise rates too far, or else everything implodes. They're going to try hard to keep it going. And the Bank of England governor today, he blamed everyone and everything but the Bank of England for the inflation. He's still using the Brexit excuse. He's using COVID. He's using the war in the Ukraine excuse. And he never talks about the fact that they printed like a trillion pounds in the last 15 years, which is like half of the GDP of this country for the loss of purchasing power of the currency. So, yeah, they will always blame everyone. And they'll blame even like people asking for pay rises. They'll blame the unions for inflation, even though we know there's a famous banker in the 19th century, Felix Somery. He said that inflation without government is impossible because it's a government and the state through its central bank that create inflation. So in a world, let's say, where you barter things value for value, you can't have inflation. But when you have a currency and the government and the central bank take over that currency and make it a fiat currency, they can inflate at will. So, yeah, they will always blame someone else. And most people don't understand that. They think that inflation is actually prices rising. They don't realize that it's the issuance, over-issuance of currency that has created that.
It is the over-issuance of currency, and that's why, like, as you mentioned, holding precious metals is so important because, and as so many people have mentioned before, you are becoming your own central bank. You're moving your funds outside of this system of a currency supply that can be controlled, you know, at will by unelected officials, and moving your funds into something that can't be controlled. I mean, you know, you can only mine, it takes effort to mine metal out of the ground. So it's a store of wealth that really represents human labor, right? Of people taking it out of the ground, using human effort to refine it and all of that. So can you speak to that, how it's so important to become your own central bank, take control again of your wealth instead of just having it be in the hands of unelected officials?
Yeah, I learned about that through Jim Sinclair many years ago in the early 2000s. He wrote a book called A Pocketbook of Gold. He said you need to be your own central bank. And the other thing it does, it cuts out the middleman or counterparty risk. For example, when you leave your savings in the bank, they'll lend that many times over and give you a tiny amount of interest. Like, for example, right now, I do have to keep some fiat savings for tax reasons to pay taxes, but they're only giving me like 0.65%, while the Bank of England rate is at 4%. So, yeah, I try to take convert my savings into gold and silver as much as possible. The other thing, yes, if you want to finance these people, keep your savings with them because they'll use that for their own benefit and they won't give you too much benefit from it. Yeah, so I agree with you. Being your own central bank is a great thing. It makes you even more self-reliant and independent.
Yeah, and it makes you immune then, right, from financial repression.
That's right. It's just like health-wise, if you stay fit, you don't have to go and take all the nonsense that they try to push with you. It's like natural immunity. It's financial natural immunity.
Fantastic. Well, Mario, we really appreciate your time today. If our viewers are interested in learning more, where can they find you?
Yes, I'm on YouTube at Maneco64. I'm also on Twitter quite a bit. And I also post on BitChute, Rumble, Steam, and Hive.
Fantastic. Mario, any last thoughts before we let you go?
Yeah, just keep plugging away. Don't let them scare you and keep stacking. And also, I think it's really important if you do well as well to be nice to people who I think are going to have a tough time. And I think that's really important too.
All right. Mario Aneco from Aneco64 YouTube channel, thank you so much for your time and God bless.
You're welcome. And God bless, Elijah.
Miles Franklin Precious Metals is one of America's oldest and most trusted bullion dealers. Miles Franklin is A-plus rated and accredited by the Better Business Bureau, licensed and bonded, and has zero complaints ever registered. Here at Liberty and Finance, we are licensed brokers with Miles Franklin. To order, simply call us, discuss your needs, and we can let you know our live inventory, prices, and availability, and lock in your order over the phone. Once your order is locked, the price is held for you regardless of market fluctuations, and the metals are reserved for you awaiting your settled payment. Within one business day of ordering, you will receive an email invoice detailing the order and payment instructions. Miles Franklin accepts payments by bank wire, ACH or electronic check, money order, check mailed priority mail, and cryptocurrency. The fastest forms of payment are bank wire and cryptocurrency. Upon settled payment, metals will ship out within 3 to 5 business days. You will receive tracking information via email. Domestic shipping charges are $15 for any order under 500 ounces of silver or 10 ounces of gold. For orders larger than that, domestic shipping is free. The package will be boxed, fully insured, and labeled discreetly, with no indication of the contents inside. For your privacy, the name Miles Franklin will not even be on the package. To talk to myself, Kaiser, my brother Elijah, or my father Dunnigan, call 1-888-81-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-815-4237.